Wisdom, the final frontier to true knowledge. Welcome to Wisdom Trek, where our mission is to create a legacy of wisdom, to seek out discernment and insights, to boldly grow where few have chosen to grow before. Hello, my friend. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, your captain on our journey to increase wisdom and create a living legacy. Thank you for joining us today as we explore wisdom on our second millennium of podcast. This is day 1326 of our trek, and it is Worldview Wednesday. Creating a biblical worldview is important in order to have a proper perspective on today's current events. To establish a biblical worldview, it is required that we also have a proper understanding of God and His Word. Our focus for the next several months on Worldview Wednesday is mastering the Bible through a series of brief insights. These insights are extracted from a book by the same title from one of today's most prominent Hebrew scholars, Dr. Michael S. Heiser. This book is a collection of insights designed to help you to understand the Bible better. When we let the Bible be what it is, we can understand it as the original readers did and as the original writers intended. Each week, we will explore two additional insights. Today's title is Mastering the Bible, Judges and Kings. Insight number 39, Judges Were Not Kings. The book of Judges is largely an intentional contrast between the faithlessness of the God's people and his own faithfulness. Repeatedly in Judges, we read that Israel turned against God's laws and commands. They suffered under foreign oppressors as a result, and then they had to be bailed out of their misery by God. Judges chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 sums it up. The Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the images of Baal. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They went after other gods, worshiping the gods of the people around them, and they angered the Lord. Then in Judges chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 was the resulting consequence. Every time Israel went out to battle, the Lord fought against them, causing them to be defeated, just as he had warned, and the people were in great distress. Then the Lord raised up judges to rescue the Israelites from their attackers. When we see the word judges, we think of people who decide legal cases and pass out sentences to criminals. This isn't who is in view here. Reading through the book of Judges makes it clear that, with the exception of Deborah, who actually did listen to the complaints and make decisions for people, in Judges chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, the judges were actually military leaders that God raised up to defeat Israel's enemies. The period of the judges was one of lawlessness. It was chaotic and unpredictable. Twice the book of Judges tells the readers in Judges chapter 17, verse 6 and chapter 21, verse 25, that in those days Israel had no king. All the people did whatever was right in their own eyes. On nearly 10 occasions, the author offers a blunt assessment that the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. Several analogies to the judges suggest themselves. The time of the judges could be looked upon like the old Wild West, where gangs of outlaws controlled the towns and territories by fear, ignoring the law. That would make the judges equivalent to sheriffs or hired guns. Perhaps more familiar, we could think of Canaan at this time as a fictional Gotham. None of the judges had a cape or lived in a bat cave, but you get the idea. Judges were deliverers, the superheroes of the day. But one thing we need to understand, judges were not kings. They did not rule over all the tribes or even a single tribe. They did not have dynasties, although Gideon and his son Abimelech tried to pull that off in Judges chapter 6 through 9. Judges were temporary solutions to the problem of the time. They defeated foreign enemies and restored law and order, ushering in a time of peace until the next judge was needed. Their authority was regional. For example, sometimes Israel's oppressors only controlled specific cities, and this can be found in Judges chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. The book of Judges serves an important purpose. It offered a vivid argument for kingship as a permanent solution to foreign conquest. As we'll see, God had planned all along for Israel to have kings. Having a king wasn't a sin, but trusting in man instead of God was. Let's now move on to insight number 40. God intended all along for Israel to have a king. After the wars of Joshua and the conquering of the Promised Land, Israel fell into turmoil, as is mentioned in Judges chapter 1. The conquest of the Promised Land remained incomplete. Their failure was the result of their apostasy, that is, tolerating or even embracing other gods. As punishment, God allowed Israel to be overrun by foreign oppressors. The book of Judges chronicles that period, which is basically a repetitious cycle of apostasy, oppression, temporary repentance, and a divinely appointed deliverance by a military leader referred to as a judge. Samuel was a judge and served his people well. Unfortunately, his sons were corrupt and unreliable judges, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. The Israelites saw this as an opportunity to demand something more permanent. They demanded Samuel appoint a king so that they could be like the rest of the nations, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. Samuel didn't like the idea and said so to both the Israelites and God, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 6. God told him not to take it personally, since the request was really a rejection of God and not the prophet, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 7 through 9. This negative assessment had been taken by many Bible students as proof that kingship for Israel was evil. This is hard to reconcile with the fact that in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 14 through 20, lays down rules for good kingship for Israel once it entered the land. Kingship is viewed positively even earlier than that, and this is the story of Jacob when he passed down blessings to his sons, which is recorded in chapter 49, verse 10. And this was written centuries earlier than the Judges, and says very plainly that the tribes of Judah would produce kings. And this is the verse: "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants, until the coming of the one to whom it belongs, the one whom all nations will honor." And of course we know that was Jesus Christ. How do we reconcile the apparent conflict of interest? Clarity comes in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 5. The people demanded, "Look," they told him, "you are now old and your sons are not like you. Give us a king to judge us like the other nations have." The language actually changes a bit in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. But the people refused to listen to Samuel's warning. "Even so, we still want a king," they said. "We want to be like the nations around us. Our king will judge us and lead us into battle." The desire for a king to go out and fight the nation's battle is the key to understanding why their request was so offensive. In Israelites' earlier history, it was God who had fought for Israel. God had defeated Egypt and her gods, Exodus chapter 14 and 15. And he brought Israel to the Promised Land in the form of an angel, Exodus chapter 23, verses 20 through 23. When Israel failed spiritually after Joshua died, the angel of the Lord forsook them, initiating the chaos of the period of the Judges, Judges chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Actually, having a king wasn't the issue. Replacing God as the military leader showed that Israel had not learned her lesson. There was no will to trust God with their security as Moses and Joshua had done. They wanted a tough guy. Their choice, Saul, looked the part, 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. God had planned for Israel to have a king, but one who had a heart that would trust in him. Eventually, they got one, which was King David. And that will conclude this week's lesson on another two insights from Dr. Heiser's book, Mastering the Bible. Next Worldview Wednesday, we will continue with two additional insights. I believe that you'll find each Worldview Wednesday an interesting topic to consider as we build our biblical worldview. Tomorrow, we will continue with our 3-minute humor nugget that will provide you with a bit of cheer, which will help you to lighten up and live a rich and satisfying life. So I encourage your family and friends to join us and to come along with us tomorrow for another day of Wisdom Trek, Creating a Legacy. If you'd like to listen to any of the past 1,325 treks or read the Wisdom Journals, they are all available at wisdom-trek.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to Wisdom Trek on your favorite podcast player so that each day's trek will be downloaded to you automatically. And thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide, your mentor, but most importantly, I am your friend as I serve you through the Wisdom Trek podcast and journal each day. And as we take this trek of life together, let us always live abundantly Love unconditionally. Listen intentionally. Learn continuously. Lend to others generously. Lead with integrity. And then leave a living legacy each day. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, reminding you to keep moving forward. Enjoy your journey. And then create a great day every day. See you tomorrow.